Hi, and welcome to the Reiki from the Farm podcast, brought to you by me, Pam Allen LeBlanc from Hidden Brook Farm. I am a scientist, a businesswoman, and a licensed Reiki master teacher with the International Center for Reiki Training. Each week in this podcast, you'll be entertained as you learn about a wide variety of relevant Reiki topics, helping you become a more knowledgeable and effective Reiki practitioner. We caution you, though, this podcast may also dramatically improve your life, and we are so happy that you're here.
So what a great group we have here tonight for the Reiki Share and the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Just a little update. Just last week, the premier finally said we are not going to election this fall. So for those of you who've been following that crazy journey of potential snap election, which has been really stressful, actually, thank goodness for Reiki, that's not happening. And so that gives us a little bit of time. So been able to stand down and just do what we need to do for a proper campaign now. And I'm learning so much. But I'm so glad you guys joined me tonight for our Reiki Share. I really wanted to share with you, it took me a little while to absorb this, but in September, I knew that politics was imminent. I was going to be nominated for as a representative for the Green Party. And I had said yes to that, to Reiki, a few years ago. So that was no surprise. The surprise was that there was potentially a snap election. But thankfully that, I think thanks to all of your Reiki, that has gone away. And now we can do things properly. But I noticed that even though I had said yes to stepping forward into this big change, and I'm still going to be doing Reiki, I've been very clear with everybody that I may be stepping into a political life with the Green Party, because Reiki has guided me there. I'm still going to be teaching Reiki and being a licensed Reiki master teacher and being an assistant director with the ICRT. But it's been really interesting kind of blending those two things together in the learning curve on the political side. But last September, when I went to this incredible conference, I found that although I knew I was going to step into this change, I was really coming against some resistance. I love my life. I love what I do. And I wasn't sure, and I'm already fairly busy with a few businesses that I run, and I wasn't really sure how it would all integrate and so on. And so I became very aware. William Rand took us through, just before I left in August, he took us through a wonderful program that, if you're interested, you can purchase from reiki.org, where of finding our soul's purpose. And it was really clear that politics was my soul's purpose. He took us into another ignition in Sedona on Labor Day weekend. And again, it was really clear. And I couldn't really I don't really understand the totality of politics as my mission, but it showed up that world peace is part of that. And so that makes sense, because our Reiki, Holy Fire Reiki, is world peace Reiki. So that makes a little bit of sense. And then I went into this wonderful conference with four incredible Hay House authors. And I'm really going to focus on one of them in our Reiki Share. I'm going to focus on Anita Morjani's work and soul expansion, actually two, and I'm going to bring in Shelley Cower's work as well. And I'll probably in another Reiki Share, I'll talk a little bit more about John Holland and Rebecca Campbell and their influence. But I wanted to start with the first two presenters and really try to share with you some of their wisdom and experiences today, and how it helped me really truly step into my soul's purpose. So with this, and that is what happened. I found myself with the resistance, and I found myself after the conference just completely all in, no more resistance, and really on my path and purpose. And so I'd like to see about bringing you into your path and purpose today as much as possible. Before we go too far, though, I'd just like to let you know about some of the things that we have coming up at the farm. There's some animal events coming up, which were actually inspired by John Holland's work. On November 29th, there's going to be an in-person event where I explain how energy and animal communication can actually impact your relationship with the animals in your life and bring you closer. And I've had a request from some of my students, because that's an in-person event here near Fredericton. And Krista, I hope you can attend that one with me. People have said, hey, we really want to do that event. Can you make it online? And that never occurred to me. So keep an eye on the newsletter this weekend. I am going to create an online version. It'll probably be in the month of December, because December, starting November 30th, actually, I've got 6 days of animal work in a way. I've got our level one and two class November 30th and December 1st. December 2nd and 3rd is Animal Reiki 1 and 2, and December 4th and 5th is Animal Communication. And I don't teach animal communication often. I just can't fit it in very often. So go ahead and grab that class. And if you took animal communication a long time ago, before it was a two-day course, and you'd like to review, let me know. You can review the class at half fee if you would like, because there is a level three and master class coming for animal communication in March. So there will also be another chance to review, probably in the Australian time zone in February or March as well. So just keep an eye out. We will be adding some classes. I will be adding some classes in the Australian time zones in February, March. I haven't done that yet, but I'll try to get those organized very soon. And then in January, I've got a full lineup of classes, including all the master classes and Karuna Reiki Masters. Also wanted to let you know that we are offering free shipping in North America on essential oils until the end of this month. I wanted to let you know that the Reiki Raise Summit is on. If you want to Google that and check it out, there's some fantastic speakers. A lot of my colleagues speaking this year, and I think I'll be speaking on it next year. And this coming May, I'll be teaching animal communication at the Northeast Reiki Retreat at Silver Bay, New York. So please join us. Also keep an eye out, I've been invited to teach at Omega Institute. And so there is a special peace program going on next June, I believe it is. So I will be, as the details come together for that, I will be announcing that. And I will be staying, I'll be attending the Reiki retreat at Omega Institute as well, or the Reiki conference, and speaking there. And I will be staying afterwards to help William teach his Karuna Reiki class. So just all kinds of amazing things going on. And would love to have you join us for any of those that make sense for you. So I also just wonder if I can invite everybody to bring your hands in Gassho. And Amanda says, Silver Bay is so fun. It was so much fun. And definitely looking forward to going every year. So I'm just going to invite everybody just briefly to bring your hands in Gassho and just activate your Reiki energy. And just noticing the brothers and sisters of the light, the divine ones, the angels, the archangels, the divine animals that are standing at the corners of the land and on every side of us, supporting us in our work. And we say to them that we invite their compassionate assistance, even and especially when we forget to ask. And just breathing in the light of Reiki as it fills the room that you're in. Just noticing the Reiki energy flow through your hands and into your heart, the gift of love. In today's session together, we form an intention to connect with our soul's purpose So often we think that our soul is something small that exists within our body, but our soul is expansive beyond what you can even imagine. Our body exists in our soul. The soul is timeless and everlasting. And the soul didn't come here to this planet to play small. It came to play full out. Sometimes it can be difficult, though, with the ways and worries of the world and the minutiae of our daily lives to truly understand what our soul came here to do. And so if there is any confusion around that, I hope that we can bring that to light for you today. We form an intention to live fully and deeply in our soul's purpose, whatever that might be, and to embrace the growth that comes along with it. With Reiki as our partner and our guide, we know that we are capable of anything. And together, our shared purposes support each other. So I'm so grateful for each and every one of you who showed up today, the beautiful group of you who showed up in real time, and those who will be listening after. Thank you. Namaste. So guys, I wanted to start by talking to you about Anita Morjani. I think that every one of the speakers really inspired me, but I was blown away to meet Anita Morjani. Anita had written the book Dying to Be Me, and I'll tell you a little bit about her story, and definitely would encourage you to check out her book. Her newest book is really interesting as well, Sensitive is the New Strong. I'm only partway into that one at the moment. But Anita really rocketed to fame when Wayne Dyer discovered her. And what happened was that, I'll just tell you a kind of my introduction to her work. I was working with Amanda McCordick, and I'm able to tell you about this because Amanda's very open and public about her. She calls it Amanda's Tango with Terminal Cancer. That's what you can find her on Facebook. And we recorded a podcast together about this. So she encourages me to share. But in the podcast, I talk about this, and I'll just reiterate it, that at one point, Amanda actually had a very aggressive form of terminal cancer. And although her doctors didn't say so, they expected her to only live a couple of months. And that was several years ago now. Now she has no evidence of disease, and they haven't been able to find any disease. And we're intending that keeps going, that remains. But Amanda learned Reiki. She actually, check out her podcast, the podcast I did with her, if you're interested, because she's got a list of the protocols that Reiki guided her to. And we also met together and worked together almost every week. And during one of our sessions together, I said, I'm hearing that you're supposed to read the book Dying to Be Me. And she said, oh, yeah. What's it about? I said, I have no idea. I've never read it. This is what's coming through in the energy that you're supposed to read it. And then I went ahead and went into her session. Now, her session that week was all about duality and how there are only two things that exist on the planet. Everything comes from either fear or love. And that we have to, the importance of identifying what aspects of your life are coming from fear, what aspects are coming from love, and to let go of all of those coming from fear and embrace all of those coming from love and really encourage yourself to live outside of that duality. And of course, Holy Fire has said that's part of its purpose, is to bring the third heaven reality here on earth, which is living outside of the duality. And as we went through her meditation, which was just, I was just listening, it was just guided, as it often is in my sessions. Even though she didn't say so to me, she thought I was full of crap, because she said, there's more than just love and fear. There's all these other things too. And she was thinking about a complex list of emotions and so on. She did say, oh, isn't that interesting? I have her book. She had ordered a stack of books from Hay House, and Anita Morjani's was one of them. And so she said, I'll pull it out this weekend and read it. So we went ahead with her session. She didn't tell me that she thought I was full of crap, but she did think it. And then she pulled up that book and read it. And so the next week, she said, I read that book. And I said, oh yeah, what was it about? And she said, exactly what my session was about, that there's only love and fear. And one of the things that she realized is, in reading the book, that it really was true, that despite the fact that we have different names for different emotions and different conditions and so on, every emotion, condition, everything that happens in our life is coming from one of those two places. It's stemming from one of those two places. She really enjoyed the book, and I would even say it probably was a bit of a turning point for her in her journey, or in her tango. To have an opportunity then to meet Anita at the, they called it a soul survival conference, but really they should have called it soul thriving or something else, because it wasn't about surviving. It was about just allowing your soul to let loose and shine and thrive. And it was so very powerful for me. So I hope I can just share even a portion of that with you all today. So just to give you a little bit of Anita's history from my notes, she had a near-death experience in 2006. She was in a coma. She was at end-stage cancer. She had tumors the size of golf balls throughout her lymphatic system. And they were from the base of her skull and neck, down her arms, through her abdomen. She weighed 85 pounds. She was so weak, she couldn't lift her head. She couldn't absorb nutrients. Her lungs continued to fill with fluid. She had open lesions on her body, and her organs were shutting down. She was given 24 hours to live. She was in Hong Kong at the time, at the Hong Kong Sanatorium in Happy Valley. Her mother and husband, Danny, were there with her, and she had started to leave her body. And as she started to leave her body, she felt amazing. She felt free and vibrant and alive. She said she had always feared cancer and death. She also feared the treatment of cancer, although she did go through treatments, and she was 4 years fighting the disease, and she just didn't feel it was worth fighting anymore. So she let go. But as soon as she did let go, her whole world expanded. And so this tells us that the soul is much more expansive than what we understand or what we realize when we are here in this state of being. As her world expanded, as she let go, she became aware of her brother in India, who was rushing to get on a plane to try to get there, to try to get to her before she passed. Her awareness expanded. She could see and hear the doctors as they talked down the hall. She was very aware of what they were saying. And as she noticed her brother trying to get there, she had the awareness that she needed to try to stay alive at least until he got there. And in that space, what she says she felt was pure, unconditional love. She was just enveloped in it. And from there, she talks about the fact that if love is conditional, it's not love. That's not love. She said it was an ocean of love that she was in, which is so interesting, because those of us who have studied Holy Fire Reiki, one of our most healing experiences that we share in our early classes is the ocean of holy love. but she was bathed in it. And she talks very strongly about how it's our birthright to feel that love. She was also aware of other beings that were there to help her cross over. She recognized some, but not all of them. She was Indian and she was raised in Hong Kong. She went to British schools. Everything around her was multicultural. And something that had happened in her life prior to this that caused great shame to her family is that 3 days before her arranged wedding, she ran away. And it was a 7-day long wedding affair. There were people that had come from all over to be there. And she says this really brought a lot of shame onto her family, to the prospective groom's family. Her family was ostracized because of it. And in the Indian community, within 24 hours, everybody knew. And people were told to stay away from her. It brought a lot of shame to her father, who had arranged the marriage. And so she really wasn't sure when she met her father on the other side. Her father had predeceased her. How was that going to go? And she says that when their souls came together, there was no judgment. There was only pure, unconditional love. There was a realization that they had both been victims of the culture. And she talks about the fact that when we die, we leave behind our physical body, our gender, our religious beliefs, our culture, our religion, and our nationality. And isn't that interesting that we can get all hung up on gender or religions or culture that separates us, and those all leave when we're no longer here? So isn't that such an interesting thing? She says, when you just have two unembodied souls, pure souls, all you can see is pure love. That's all that's there. And so what crosses over, which is our souls, our pure consciousness, pure love, our God self. And so in a very short time, she moved to a place of clarity. And as she was in this immense sea or ocean of love, and she could get a sense of how joyful all of her relatives and all of the people that had come to meet her, many of them she didn't know, how joyful they were to see her. And she stopped for a moment to explain to us, because people wondered, how do people communicate with each other on the other side, if they don't have biology, if they don't have, is it words? Is it language? What is communication like? And she said, it's beyond telepathy because it's like the two souls merge. So it's even beyond what we're able to do with animal communication. You know each other's hearts when you're on the other side. When you're soul to soul, you understand what brought that soul to where they are. And this is really interesting. This is something that I want to call attention to today, is that the people who hurt us the most in this life are the ones who tend to help you the most when you cross over. And so she talked about how she felt so loved. And she found that interesting because she was always taught to fear the other side. In the Hindu religion in which she was brought up, she was taught to fear the gods, to pray, to give offerings and sacrifices. But she found that wasn't the case when she got there. The other side reveres us for going through the journey of being human. And I've noticed that. I've noticed that as much as we tend to honor and revere the enlightened beings, that is reflected right back at us from them. They seem to really honor us and revere us for going through the journey of being human. And she found that very eye-opening. That was not at all what she expected. She also, in that place of clarity, understood why she had got cancer. She understood that although she had cancer and although she had crossed over, it also wasn't her time, that she could still continue to cross over. It was her choice. If she really wanted to, she could cross over, but she wasn't supposed to. It wasn't her time, and she could decide to come back. So at one point, her father, and she did talk about the fact that time is not linear there. What was a matter of a day in this coma and in this near-death experience as her organs were shutting down, a lot happened in that length of time. But her father stopped her at one point and told her this was as far as she could go because it wasn't her time. She wasn't forced to come back, but she was encouraged to come back. And she was also very aware at the same time as she had all of this awareness going on of the physical that was happening on the other side of the veil, which is right here where we are. She understood that if she chose to come back, her body would heal very quickly. Her physical body, and here's another real gem that she gave us. Our physical body is a reflection of the state of our soul and of our soul's purpose. The repression of our soul is what sometimes makes us sick. And she could see multiple past lives. She could also, simultaneously, she could also see into our future because time isn't linear there. And she talked about the fact that we have access to all of the lives. And from that space, she could also look at that event that brought shame to her family, running away from a marriage, and see that it was a good thing because it inspired other women to speak up and speak out. And from this side, she hadn't realized that it had an impact at all on other people. But from the other side, she could really see that. And she talked to us about the fact that she could see her life as a tapestry. She invited us to imagine a huge 30-foot tapestry from floor to ceiling with a beautiful picture. It's so big, though, that you would have to stand really far back in order to take in the picture. However, up close, you notice that the silk threads are woven intricately to make this beautiful, intricate, complicated picture. And she talked about the fact that each of our lives is one thread in the tapestry, and that it affects any thread that it touches. And she saw that she could see all the people and threads and lives that her life had touched already. And she could also see the threads that she had not yet touched because her life wasn't done yet. She could see herself speaking to a large audience, but she had no idea what she would be speaking about. She also realized how very powerful each and every one of us are if we choose to believe it and stop limiting ourselves. She said no training has ever come close to giving her a glimpse of how powerful we actually are. And she wondered what this world would be like if we told children how powerful they are and really meant it, really believed it, without those limitations. But because we've been conditioned by fear, we are often disempowered and sometimes even moved into a space of victim. But as she was coming back, her father said to her, "Now that you know the truth of who and what you are, now go out and live fearlessly." And she talked about how she had really lived so much of her life from a place of fear up until that point.
When she came back, she recognized one of the doctors and called him by his name, and she knew what he had done. But he had only treated her after she had been in a coma. So he was shocked that she knew his name. She also shared what she had overheard him say at the nurse's station. Within 4 days of her return, her tumors had shrunk by over 60%. The doctors didn't know what to write in their charts. After 3 weeks, she had no trace of cancer in her body, although she was still very weak and frail. And after 5 weeks, she was allowed to go home after some physical therapy and building up her body. That was March 9th of 2006. And so what Anita invited us to do was to form an intention and live intentionally. And so I'm going to invite you to form an intention as we prepare. I've got one more story to tell, and then we'll go into a meditation today. But where would you like to feel more powerful? And I think Diana's cat is typing all kinds of great stuff into the chat, like my cat has done before. When I understand your cat's questions, I will answer them. She talked, though, about the similarities in our cultures, that no matter what culture we're raised on, there's often a basis in fear. She talked about the Hindu beliefs in nirvana, meaning that you no longer have to come back as a human, the belief that coming here is punishment. And in fact, from the other side, she realized that was not correct, that we chose to be here. And whatever we believe, the message is the same. We're often taught that we're not good enough as we are, so we have to keep working on ourselves. And she asks, why do we constantly tell ourselves, I'm not good enough, I must do better, I must be better, I must do more, I'm flawed? This is a concept of who you are at your core. This is not part of God. This is not part of who you really are. This is a concept that we've been taught and that we sometimes choose to believe. She talked about the fact that in her culture, she was trained to grow up subservient to men, and she just accepted that as a fact. She wasn't allowed to have a temper. Everything had to be in service to men. She had to live a service-oriented life. And she said, looking back, that wasn't authentic for her. And I'm starting to realize, as a woman stepping into politics, there's not very many women in politics. It's really interesting. I think that almost every culture has an element of this in it today. She says that when we encounter people soul to soul, we can see God in everyone's eyes. And this is a concept that has come through in a lot of prayers that I have channeled. She was trained that it's better to give than receive. And so many of these concepts, she often demeaned herself and often saw herself as less than others, as unworthy, as a doormat. She never allowed her soul to shine. She thought she was getting better karma by doing this, but she realized that wasn't the case when she viewed it from the vantage point of the other side. We live our lives so often with the purpose of having an ideal afterlife, whereas the truth is that we came here to actually live life to the fullest, not to focus all of our attention on the afterlife. I think the afterlife, from what she says, takes care of itself. She talks about the fact that we are all here to be all that we can be, to let our light shine, and to know that each and every soul came here for a purpose. Our soul came here with an intention to play full out at something. it's our own free will as to whether we will follow that path or not. But the fact that you're all here today tells me that you must have at least some interest in that. The best way to know what our soul's purpose is to think about what lights you up and sparks joy. What sparks joy and makes you feel passionate about something? This is part of our soul's purpose. Joy is an indicator that we are living according to our soul's purpose. Reiki, teaching Reiki, doing these Reiki shares, these podcasts, this all gives me joy. This is how I know it's part of my soul's purpose. What surprises me is politics also is giving me a lot of joy. And so I'm like, oh, that's not just something, I guess, that I was told to do. That must be definitely part of my soul's purpose as well, even though I did resist it pretty strongly at first. One of the biggest things that she realized is that our soul came here to play much bigger than we usually allow it to. Her soul came to play much bigger than she had ever allowed herself to be. And she feels it was that repression of her soul's purpose that for her led to cancer. And I'm not saying that's the case for everybody who gets sick, but definitely she says, I got cancer because I wasn't being myself. She had so many wake-up calls and she was pushed so hard and she didn't hear them. And so her body your body is never fighting against you. It's usually fighting for you. It's fighting to save your life, to help you express your soul. The body never turns against us. That's just a really interesting way to look at any illness or condition. What is this trying to tell me? What am I supposed to learn from this? When she came back, she wanted everyone to know she had found a cure for cancer, but people didn't want to hear it necessarily. They pushed back. She actually had to leave the community she was in because she no longer wanted to be who she was not. She wanted to be her authentic self, and she was a people pleaser. She wasn't really allowed to be anyone different in her culture. So she had to figure out how to get back to a place of community. She said healing from cancer was not the hardest part. Even achieving authenticity was not the hardest part of what she had to accomplish. In fact, doing that within her community, that was the hardest part. So she talked about the importance of building a community which supports us. And I'm so glad to see 30 of you here with me today. I believe we are each other's community, supporting each other. And I know I appreciate you and each and every one of you. And I know that you appreciate each other as well. She really believed from her experience that many illnesses and diseases are healable, even without medications or drugs, if we can move to this place of understanding. With that being said, medication and drugs can be very helpful as well. But she did a lot of different things and had a lot of different ideas for us. If it feels interesting to you, I'd really encourage you to check out some of her work. Anita Morajani, Dying to Be Me, Sensitive is the New Strong. It really resonates. And she's got another book in between. I can't remember the title of that, but I will put her name in our podcast notes. What her biggest advice for us going forward is be yourself fearlessly, even if it means risking disappointing people. And it's different for everyone what that means. So what does it mean for you to be fearless? One of the things she had to learn was how to say no when she knew that it would disappoint people as a people pleaser. So what does being fearless mean to you? And so it was such a powerful talk, and it was followed by a meditation which I want to share with you today. But I want to take you into another speaker before I do. Shelley Carr, who has a PhD and she's known as the Past Life Lady. She's been endorsed by Brian Weitz, which a lot of people know. And I forgot to tell my friend Karen. Karen Keg, if you're listening, just on my way to that talk, I saw a praying mantis. And I know Karen, the praying mantis was a sign that helped Karen Keg understand she was to move to Ecuador. And so I couldn't help, we don't have praying mantises in New Brunswick. And so there at Omega Institute in New York was a praying mantis. And I on my way to Shelley Carr's presentation, I couldn't help but think about that. And I just have this really interesting question in the chat, but about what if this is heaven, from Amanda. How our cultural myths prevent us from experiencing heaven on earth. And I have had that thought that, that's the third book, is What If This Is Heaven? Our cultural myths prevent us from experiencing heaven on earth. Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry. I thought that was your question in the chat. I didn't realize that was the title of her book. It's so funny because before I even read that book, I have read it now, but before I read the book, and obviously I didn't pick up the title very well, I've been shown by Holy Fire that exact thought. What if this is heaven? What if we have an opportunity to live heaven on earth? And some of you who've been following the podcast and the Reiki shares for a while know that I talk about releasing duality and living heaven on earth here, because heaven is all around us. And Colleen Benelli talks about that in the 12 Heavens workshops and so on, that heaven is right here. It's just, what frequency do you choose to live on? What frequency do you choose to live your life on? Do you choose to live heaven on earth, or do you prefer to live a life of duality? And you'll notice that it's not all or nothing. You'll notice that that more and more areas of your life expand into the heaven on earth. And then some areas still exist within duality. It's the growth isn't just boom, instantaneous. It seems to be an ever-going process in our lives. So Shelley Carr brought in the fact that of past lives, and the fact that past lives are very real. But with that being said, she also talked about the fact that future lives are very real. And so she actually took us into a past life regression. And I'm not trained to do that, so I'm not going to take you into a past life regression today. What we are going to do is we're going to use the distance symbol to do another part of what she did, which was she brought us into a future life. And we can all do that with the distance symbol today. And if you're listening and you're at level one Reiki, or you don't have Reiki yet and you don't have the distance symbol, that's all right. I'm going to send you my distance symbol for you to use. And if you are listening and have the distance symbol, we're simply going to step into a future life where we are living our soul's purpose. And we're going to find out a little bit more about it. And so what that did for me is, after doing the soul expansion experience with Anita Morjani that we're going to go into now, the next day, listening to Shelley and doing a future life experience, and my question in the whole thing, when I asked you, where do you want to live fearlessly? I said, with my health, which has just improved exponentially since that time, with my finances, which has also improved exponentially, and with my life purpose in both politics and my Reiki business. And as a matter of fact, every one of those things has expanded immensely. But I was really, in particular, working through that resistance to politics, and I was very aware of it. And my future life gave me a glimpse of one of the possibilities of where this is going. And it was incredible. But I came back from it. I went into it very insecure, aware that there were rumors that the premier might be calling a snap election so that I might have to be going home straight into an election and an election that would be very difficult to win as an unknown in only 30 days and things like that. So I was coming actually from a place of fear, if I'm perfectly honest with you, and a place of duality. And having had a glimpse of where it's all going, I actually shifted completely out of the fear and into a place of confidence. And so whether I win or don't win the election, I know that it's all going to work out. I'm not worried about it. However, it turns out, I saw for me, we're gonna see what year it is and so on when we go into the future. But for me, it was 20 years into the future, and it works out. However, this goes, I don't know where I'm going. Is it through Reiki? Is it through politics? I don't know. And it really doesn't matter. It works out. And so I was able to come back with a tremendous sense of confidence. So after we just go into the expansion of the soul and touch on the soul's purpose, we are going to go forward into the future and see what it looks like when we're accomplishing our soul's purpose. Does anybody have any questions before we begin? This is a bit of a longer meditation today. Okay. I'm just going to invite you to close your eyes once more, take a deep breath, bringing your hands into gassho, activating your Reiki energy. And then go ahead and place them comfortably on your body, giving yourself Reiki. Breathing deeply, just allowing the Reiki energy to fill the space of your soul. And becoming aware of the expansiveness of your soul. The beauty of it, how far does it reach? We're just going to stay in this space for some time, just getting familiar with and getting to know that beautiful soul that our body exists within. Thank you. just witnessing its beauty. Its magnificence, its expansiveness. And just being, bringing yourself into an awareness of your soul. It does not exist within us, we exist within it. And now just feeling your soul expand to encompass and envelop those people that you love. Your family, your close friends, your Reiki community. Feeling it expand to touch each other's souls. And just noticing the threads that weave between us as we connect soul to soul. Being to being. From a place of love and harmony. And of appreciation. And we'll just stay here, getting used to that feeling for a while. Now feel your soul expanding to your acquaintances and feel it expanding to encompass your entire town or village. Feel how effortless this expansion is for your soul. Now allow your soul to continue expanding until it takes up your entire county. Once again, taking note of the effortlessness of this. Once again, allow your soul to continue expanding until it's as big as your province or your state. Once again, noticing how effortless this is for your soul. Thank you. from this space of expanded awareness, ask your soul to reveal your soul's purpose. Consider what gives you joy and notice the images or thoughts or words that float through your mind. The thoughts aren't formed yet. That's all right. They're coming. You've made the request. And if you are starting to see something, just allow it to continue to develop. From this place of expanded awareness, allow your soul's light to reach out and connect with every other soul on the planet. Just feeling the web of light that we create when we connect with each other from the space of soul. The differences that divide non-existent, as we connect heart to heart and soul to soul. Creating a tapestry of light here on the earth. Even with all of our differences, we share the common purpose of creating wellness on the earth today. And so now, from this place of expansiveness within your soul, and connectedness, I invite you to imagine that you are once again you. The expanded soul is still there, it is still part of you. You come back to the person that you identify with. And you notice a beautiful bridge of light in front of you, and the divine ones are still standing at the corners of the land, and you think, wow, have they been here all along? Through all of that expansiveness, and yes, they have. We're going to take that bridge of light to a place where you are living your soul's purpose from a place of joy and fulfillment. We don't know yet what that is or when that is, but this experience may give us some clarity. And so you step across the bridge that is lined with angels and archangels. They're so happy for you. Recognizing that this bridge is taking you to that place where you are living fully and completely all out in your soul's purpose, doing what you came here to do from this expansive space of your soul. When you get to the other side of the bridge, you notice a door. And you know that when you step through the door, you'll be visiting your future self. And so you open the door and you walk through. And at first you are like an observer to your future self, just floating there, watching. What is he or she doing? Or they? Ask yourself what year this is. Does your future self appear happy and fulfilled? This is the life that we are visiting. And just take a little bit of time to notice. Where your future self is, what they're doing. Do you notice any people around your future self? Where do they appear to be? Feels right to you. Take a step over to your future self. Take them by the hand and sit down with them and ask, how did we get here? And what advice do you have for me to move forward? If it feels right to you, You can embrace your future self and let them know how proud you are of them for living fully and completely, fearlessly, following their dream. You may wish to merge with your future self and they with you so that you can really fully experience what they feel. Vibration that they are working from, feelings of joy and accomplishment that go along with living fully in your purpose. Understand that you'll be able to bring those feelings, that confidence, that vibration back with you as you thank your future self and ask if it's all right if you visit them again. And they may have some parting words for you. As you wave goodbye and step back through the door, closing it, knowing that is where you're heading. And you step back across the bridge, bringing that vibration, that confidence, those feelings, that expansiveness with you. Step back into your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, your life in this moment in time, filled with gratitude for all that we've experienced together and for all that this life has to offer just for today. I am grateful. Thank you. Namaste. Thank you for joining us this week. We look forward to seeing you again. Keep shining brightly in the world.